Hello, welcome to Outbeat Radio, KRCB Windsor Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Grayer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Tonight in studio, we have our special guests, Jamie Lynn.
Hello.
And Shayla.
Hi.
How you doing?
We're good. Thank you so
much. We're excited to be here. Thank you for having us.
We're definitely excited.
Wonderful.
Oh, cool. We met Jamie when she volunteered to direct the Vagina Monologues produced by Becky Fine this past year in April at the college, Santa Rosa JC. She just kind of came out of the woodwork and said, hey, I want to direct.
And what a lucky charm she's been.
I'm so excited. And you hear more about that on other shows, future shows.
Hopefully.
Right, Jamie?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm not going anywhere.
Right on. And so before we learn about these two lovely women, we're going to have news and events with our Outbeat member and our good friend and engineer, Greg Moralia.
I have found Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
Good evening, this is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for this Sunday, July 5th, 2015. We begin tonight with a story from two local women who were in Washington, D.C. and on the steps of the U.S. Supreme Court building last week when the court's decision about marriage equality was issued. Santa Rosa attorney Naomi Metz embraced her wife, Jennifer Foley, as the decision was read aloud. For Metz, the moment reflected the intersection of her private life and her public mission and career advocating for LGBT clients and equal rights. Metz, who is an attorney specializing in estate and probate law, said that she wept tears of joy when she read the majority opinion by Justice Anthony Kennedy legalizing same-sex marriage across the country. Hours later, she was still nearly at a loss for words to describe the feeling and significance of the legal milestone. Metz said that the majority opinion did two important things. First, it further strengthened a right of privacy that had been handed down in previous major cases, such as those providing for abortion rights and outlawing the Texas sodomy laws. Secondly, it refuted opponents' claims that same-sex marriage should not be allowed on the crux of protecting children, shooting down every argument put forward by the four other critics on the bench. The couple were visiting Washington, D.C. last week as part of Metz's participation last Wednesday in an LGBT Pride event at the White House. Metz said she shook hands with President Obama and hugged Vice President Biden, inviting him to Sonoma County to have a glass of wine after he leaves office. Metz and Foley's life together reflects many key points on the legal and political timeline of same-sex marriage in the U.S. The couple had a commitment ceremony back in 2001. They were married in San Francisco in 2004 when then-Mayor Gavin Newsom directed city officials to issue marriage licenses to some 4,000 same-sex couples before the state Supreme Court halted the practice and later voided all of those marriages. They were then married again in 2008 before the passage of Proposition 8. That was the state referendum that banned same-sex marriage in California. And then that initiative was ruled unconstitutional by the U.S. Supreme Court in 2013, once again granting couples in California the right to marry. Metz said, quote, I'm so thrilled today, but just know we have so much more work to do, end quote. But not everyone was overjoyed with the court's landmark decision. A county clerk in Grenada County, Mississippi, resigned rather than to issue same-sex marriage licenses. In her resignation letter, Linda Barnett said the Supreme Court decision allowing same-sex couples to marry in the United States violates my core values as a Christian. She said, my final authority is the Bible. I cannot in all good conscience issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples under my name because the Bible clearly teaches that homosexuality is contrary to God's plan and purpose for marriage and family. I chose to obey God rather than man. Barnett had been a clerk for 24 years, and a clerk in Arkansas also resigned this week after 24 years of service for the same reasons. But for the rest of the country, the celebrations were widespread. In response to the Supreme Court's decision that made same-sex marriage a right nationwide, a whopping 26 million people slapped a rainbow flag over their Facebook photos to celebrate Pride. And finally, here locally, over the next 2 months, the LGBTQI Task Force of Sonoma County's Commission on Human Rights is gathering information through surveys, interviews, group meetings on the state of the LGBTQI community in Sonoma County. The task force invites your participation to complete a survey. If you are a member of the LGBT community here in Sonoma County, you can go online and complete the survey either in English or Spanish. We have links available right now at our website at outbeatnews.com. Now here's your calendar events for the coming week. On Monday, July 6th at 2 p.m., the Sonoma General LGBT Support Group will happen at the Sonoma Community Center, 276 East Napa Street in Sonoma. And on Tuesday, July 7th at 10 a.m., the Napa Valley Older Adults Discussion Group will convene at the Queen of the Valley Outreach Center, 3448 Villa Lane in Napa. And finally, on Saturday, July 11th at 7 p.m., the Russian River Sisters will present At the River Churns Bingo at the Veterans Memorial Hall in Guerneville. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. Admission is $20 for two bingo cards. You can learn more at rrsisters.org. And for more information about LGBT events happening here in the North Bay, go to gaysonoma.com. And for all the latest LGBT news headlines, go to our website at outbeatnews.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter for updates from Outbeat Radio News all week long. For Gary Carnevelli, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Living Proof with Sheridan Gold and Dr. Diana Greer.
Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
I keep asking Greg, how did you do that with Siri? Anyway, welcome back to Living Proof. I'm Sheridan. I'm here with my wife and co-host Diana. If you just joined us, this is Living Proof, and we're in studio this evening with Jamie Lynn and Chayla, women extraordinaire.
I'll take the title.
So welcome, both of you. Before we get into your stories, your personal stories, we wanted to talk just a little bit about the Supreme Court ruling. Greg gave a wonderful story on the news and events that he recorded. And the thing that sticks out in my mind is 26 million, did you say, people put their faces on Facebook with the flag. And you both said you did that. So yes. Tell us what you did and how you did it.
Well, I mean, for me, I think I did it first.
You did it first.
I saw this phenomenon of Facebook turning, you know, the rainbow. And I just Googled, how do I do this to my Facebook? And turns out you go to www.facebook.com/celebratepride. And it turns your profile picture into a rainbow to show your support. So it was super easy. One click.
Amazing. 26 million.
I typed it in and it wasn't working for me. So I just went to her profile and I saw that she did it. And you can actually like click the link because it says on their picture that they went to facebook.com/celebratepride. You can click on it and then you just, you know, hit accept and it automatically puts the flag over your profile picture.
Wonderful.
So that's how I did it.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So where were you two when you got the news?
We were in the car.
We were in the car driving to the San Francisco airport to pick up her parents
for the
family reunion.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We were. My friend, actually, she sent me a text. Gay marriage is legal now. You can move back to Texas. That's how I found out.
Yeah, and you were like, maybe not. Yeah, and I usually get notifications from CNN. I was like, I would have got a notification about it. And I like, looked at my phone, and like 8 minutes ago, it was like, was it 5-4 or something?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was like, oh, she's right. It's true. Oh,
wow. So what was your reaction, though? Describe.
I mean, shock. Just, you know, it, like, this just happened. You know, we're living in this unforgettable moment of history. This, you know, how many people and lives and energy before us came to make this happen. For both of us, it was very overwhelming.
Yeah.
I'm just glad I wasn't driving.
It was. Jamie actually started crying.
Because she was so emotional. Part,
she did, but I'm gonna let you guys know. She started crying, and I was like super excited, and I was just like, "Isn't this awesome?" And, but then I just had a moment when I just thought about like all the energy that everyone has put into it, like the suicides, like everything that has happened when people have been fighting for this, and I was blessed to be here to like actually see it happen, and I don't know, I was just really happy.
Yeah.
And it was like almost like a bittersweet type thing because you know, people have lost, you know, those who mean the world to them for fighting for this, and I'm just happy that it happened. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you. We want to ask Greg a question since he's our like our political guru here. So, you know, Greg, here in California, we've had legalized marriage for right. same-sex couples for a couple years now. Both of you and Tony right. are married, and both and Diana and I are married. So how is it for Californians in your same-sex couples in California, in your estimation?
Yeah, well, it's actually really huge. And because we have had marriage here for a couple of years now, maybe it doesn't feel as important to couples because if you're married, you're already married and you feel really secure. But it actually, the decision is monumental because what it also said was that states other than California have to recognize the marriages of same-sex couples performed out of state. So before, if you were traveling, let's say, for whatever reason, to the state of Alabama, and you were married here in California, the state of Alabama would not recognize your marriage. And you say, well, okay. But if you have kids and something happened, then Alabama's child custody laws may apply. If one of your kids or maybe your partner ended up in the hospital, maybe you would have trouble making decisions that you could as a married couple. So it's really monumental. It's really important for everybody because now no matter where you go in the United States, if you're a same-sex couple and you're married, your marriage is going to be recognized no matter where you were married at. It's huge.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious what's going to happen, though, Greg, as you speak about that. Are we all going to have to carry these IDs that we're married? I mean, we have to fight the system, you know, like you're saying about hospitalizations
well,
or something.
You know, history tends to repeat itself, yeah. right? And so if you look back at some of the pushback or the blowback, if you will, that followed the interracial marriage
exactly.
decision, right, of the 60s, we still saw people resisting that and vowing not to recognize it and so forth and so on. Tony and I have carried a picture of our marriage certificate from Canada on our iPhones ever since we got married.
Oh, wonderful.
And we do that for exactly the reason that you point, that if somebody were to question or doubt or challenge, I want to be able to say no and hold that person accountable. Mm-hmm. So.
And I don't know if you know this, Diana, but I have our marriage certificate Xeroxed and folded in my bag that I carry every day because that is a fear of mine.
Oh, really?
Because you and I are
I just looked
mixed
in your
race
the
anyway.
Other day and I didn't see it.
Just teasing.
You know, people, you know, if we tell people we're married and we get somebody who doesn't believe in it, they could give us a really hard time. Mm. So I think it's important to, you know, the heterosexual couples don't have, you know, even though we just got legalized yeah. and for the country and everything, heterosexual couples don't have to prove they're married. They just say they're married and people say, okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's always been that way and it will always be that way. And I think part of the resistance that you're talking about could be, oh, you're married? Prove it. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? And so a lot of people, I think we need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
What
yeah.
you've done.
Right.
A picture
yeah, just,
of your...
Just take a picture of it. Put it to keep it in your photos in a little folder called documents or whatever. Something that you're going to know where it is and have it with you.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Well, thank
Absolutely.
You. Thank yeah. you. And I'm so excited. And it's like it's way, way, way overdue, like all our freedom challenges that we have to fight for all the time, you know. Mm-hmm. I want to be free. Leave me alone, people. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of freedom, July is our freedom show.
That's right.
So here we are. We always talk about internal freedom, what we've done to overcome obstacles to help us be free in our own personal lives. And then we have this huge Supreme Court ruling mm-hmm. that really gives us a lot of freedom. So speaking of freedom and personal lives, it's a perfect segue to get into our guests' lives tonight, Shayla and Jamie Lynn. So welcome, both of you. Thank you so much for coming on our show.
Thank you.
Again, thank you. I'm excited. I've never been on radio.
Oh,
so.
Cool. Well, let's go. So we like to, as our guests, we want to know about you, your beautiful young couple. I don't know if you like that beautiful word, but I say it anyway.
I love it. Say it again.
You're a beautiful young couple, and we're so excited to hear from the young experience, you know. And I know you both are new to this area. Could you talk about how you came to Sonoma County?
Well, I'm not new to the area. I lived here for 6 years before, and this is just my return back, and I took Shayla with me on my adventure. But my mom is from the area originally, though I grew up in Texas, and so my whole life we came up here visiting her side of the family, and I told them when I turn 18, I'm moving to California, and I turned 18 and moved to California. And I did leave for a few years, met Chayla and brought her back with me. So she was just the missing piece.
Aww. Oh, that's sweet.
Isn't that sweet?
Yeah. So, yes, I am new to the area. I'm new to the West Coast, actually. I've lived on the East Coast my whole life. That's where we met. I was in college in Maryland. And when it came to coming here, we lived in New York at the time. It was about 2 years we were living in New York, and we decided we were done with the stress of living in the city, and we wanted something a little bit more relaxing, but also really beautiful. Mm-hmm. And we talked about it, and she gave me three choices. It was either Hawaii, Lake Tahoe, or Santa Rosa. And she showed me pictures, and she told me about these different places, and I was like, okay, okay, I want to go to Santa Rosa. She's like, I want to go to Tahoe. So that's where we went first. Yeah. So I was like, okay.
We did.
Three choices. You
three
oh
choices.
No choice.
Three choices. I picked one. It was her choice. So we moved.
Oh,
yeah. It was on the way. It just makes sense to kind of, you know, feel it out.
Right.
It's
right.
on the way.
And we ended up where I wanted anyway.
That's true.
And so we were almost, a month in Tahoe. Mm-hmm. And then we were like, okay, we can't really make this work at the moment. So we're just going to move to Santa Rosa. And that's what we did.
Yeah.
So.
Wonderful. So how long you've been two together? How long?
Almost 3 years. In 3 more months, it'll be 3 years.
Is it 3? Yeah.
I'm not counting.
Congratulations.
3 more months. Mm-hmm. Congratulations. Okay, so we're going to back up a little bit and slow it down a little bit. So I know you met at college, in college.
Yes.
In Maryland. So who saw... What, how did you know? Like, give us a little bit more
girl saw
detail.
Girl.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to take it away, babe?
Let's see if your story's going to match, okay?
Yeah. I'll start. Yeah, they better match. yeah, that was kind of on me. You know, here I am, this pretty straight white girl from Texas, but very much a California girl. And I ended up in Maryland at this beautiful school, St. Mary's College of Maryland. And I saw her in our directing class. We had a few classes before then, but never really interacted. And it was just this pretty inexplicable pull that I instantly felt towards her. And I thought, you know, it was just like this mysterious kind of bad girl vibe that she was giving off, because there was that vibe. And, but I think something changed when, in directing class, she did a scene where she had to be directed by one of our fellow classmates, and she was acting, and she had to be really vulnerable in the scene, and she was, I think you cried.
I did.
You did. Yeah, you cried, a lot. Yeah. Ooh. And just, I don't know, something about seeing that vulnerability, seeing a different side of this bad girl, you know, kind of facade that had me so intrigued to begin with. I just said, okay, you know, maybe there's something a little bit more here. And
that's true. Yeah. Because like she said, I had seen her in different filming classes, but at the time I was like in a different relationship. And so, you know, I never really thought much of it. But then once, I was single again, and I just saw her in class, I remembered her because of her name. And I was like, I've never heard the name Jamie Lynn. And, so then we were in directing class. It was actually really funny. Because we were sitting on these kind of like bleacher type chairs, sort of, because it was a black box theater, and we would sit on like literally different sides of the theater, and
it got a little closer every time.
Right. Yeah. And so, you know, we never really talked that much unless we were like in groups doing like exercises. But I remember I would like always see her because it was right before class. So she had, it was a hip hop.
You're not telling the story.
I am telling the story. And
the leggings?
No, I wasn't going to tell that part.
Okay.
Wow.
She liked my hip-hop leggings.
She put that out there. I wasn't going to tell that part. I was just going to say.
Well, now don't hold back.
Now. Okay, way to go. So since she brought it up, yes, I would always see her come from hip-hop in leggings. And I thought, and I still believe she's like the greatest legs. And I'm human, so we would talk a little bit. And then, like she said, I did that scene with my classmate. And all of a sudden, she started talking to me a lot more. She started showing up at my work, because I work part-time as a barista. And I would just see her, and she'd like make small talk with me.
I bought a lot of coffee.
She bought a lot of coffee.
I spent so much money on coffee.
Yeah, and as we kept talking, And at one point, she was like, so, you know, I don't remember how you asked for my number.
No, I gave you my number.
Really?
I did. Okay. I just said, we should hang out sometime.
That is, right.
I feel like we'd be good friends.
Right. And then she gave me her number, and then we started texting. And as that kept happening, we got closer and closer on the bleachers. And so one point, we were literally sitting, like, on top of each other, next to each other in class. And so in my mind, I was like, because I love hearing her laugh, so I would do anything I could to make her laugh in class.
Oh, that's so sweet.
It's true. And so then all you would see is the teacher just like looking at us because she's laughing.
Oh, yeah, we got in trouble.
Yeah. And so so we're just texting, we're hanging out,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden we see each other. She's like coming out of class, and I'm in one of the academic buildings, and she's like, how do you say it? You like asked me what movie I liked, or do you like
I
this
asked
movie?
You if you liked Crazy Stupid Love, the movie.
Right. And I was like, oh my God, no, I hate that movie. And she was like, wow, okay.
I was going to invite you to a movie night.
Yeah. And I was like, oh. And I kind of just paused. I was like, ask me again. And so she asked me again. And I was like, yeah, I totally love that movie. Is that with Ryan so Gosling? True. And she's like, yeah. And so.
How cute.
Yes. And so.
There was no movie night. So I quickly texted all my friends and put together a pretend we already had this movie night thing.
Yeah. So she just did that to get me over her place.
I got moves.
And so I went to the movie with her, and we were just hanging out, and all of a sudden we were like texting like crazy, and I would come over her place. And I remember once we decided to go to Daffodil Beach on the school.
Oh yeah, our beach on the school.
And so you're really not supposed to be on there like at a certain time at night, so we just went anyway, and we're just hanging out on the beach.
Girls.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was like, oh, I don't like to sit on sand. I really don't like to sit
Who
on sand.
Who doesn't like sand?
Okay, but I knew what I was doing.
That was
so
almost a deal breaker.
And so I was like, I don't like to sit on sand. She's like, really? And we were just going back and forth. And all of a sudden, she's like, well, why don't you sit on my lap? Why don't you sit on me?
Oh, Jamie.
And so I was okay.
You know,
but I totally knew. I don't mind sitting on sand. She knows this. I love going to the beach. I was just trying to get close to her. And
I don't believe it.
It worked.
This is so
great.
And so
I sat on her lap, and we were just hanging out. And I remember
my legs were so numb. Let me tell you, she was 60 pounds heavier back then. My legs were so numb.
How long did she sit on your lap?
A long time.
Afterwards. We were there, and I remember thinking, I was like, I want to kiss this girl, but I didn't do it because we were still in this new friendship, and it was like, mm-hmm. I didn't want to really jeopardize that. But it was kind of like. It was like we became friends very quickly, and then there was kind of that flirtation going on between us.
Yeah, we were
us.
Never friends.
No, we were flirting hard since Jump Street, and like, you know, and so it kind of just went from there. And she kept showing up at my job, and I would just at this point I would just always have like a latte ready for her.
Oh,
because I knew she was coming. And I would just talk to her.
Start saving money. Huh?
That's true.
And then kind of what happened?
Eventually I just kissed you because I got sick of
right,
all of it.
Right, right, right. So we were just hanging out.
It was taking too long. I was putting in time, money, no return. So eventually I just had to take matters into my own hands. But the worst part is she didn't kiss me back.
Okay.
No. She did not kiss me back.
In my defense, I was shocked, and I was like, because, you know, I really found this girl attractive, and I was like, I was just shocked.
And
I
have
was
a
like,
good personality.
Yeah, you have a good personality, and we would always talk and just hang out till like 2 in the morning, and so I was like, in my mind, I was like, we have this really good friendship that kind of is more, but, and then she kissed me, and I was like, I was shocked, and so in my... When I was shocked, and once it finally caught up with my brain, like, like oh crap, like she just kissed you, do something. She had already moved away.
You had put your sweater on to leave at that point.
Because you had already moved away from me. And
oh
I was
gosh.
Like,
it
was
what did
like
you think,
complete
Jamie?
Miscommunication.
Aww.
I was like, well, I just messed this one up.
Aww. Right. And so we were just missing each other in that because I was totally into it. It just took me a moment. Mm-hmm. But then what did I say?
You said, you were saying your goodbyes. And, yeah. You know,
well,
because
at that point
tomorrow.
I thought like I had messed it up.
And then did you? I think you said so. Do I have to wait till tomorrow to get another kiss?
Or Friday or something like that to get another kiss. And you, what did you say? I don't remember.
I think we just made out.
Yeah. She said something, but.
You say enough of this.
Yeah, she said something, and it just turned into this epic makeout session. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And so then when did you move in together after that? How quickly?
Well, the next day. No. I graduated a semester before Chayla, so I moved to New York. We were in school in Maryland. I moved to New York, and then we were, I guess, long distance, if you can call it that.
Yeah.
And then you moved in with me 6 months, 8 months later?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
After I graduated. So I guess a year into our relationship.
Right. And after I graduated, I just moved up to New York, and we were together. Yeah.
Wow. So you said you had, when you came here, you said you had a song that is your song.
Yes.
Tell us about that, because we're almost ready for our music break. So,
okay,
you know, give us the story behind the song, the name of the song, and all that stuff.
So the song is "A Thousand Years" by Christina Perry, and I don't remember what was going on, but I heard it, and I was listening to the words, and I immediately thought of Jamie and I, because some of the words, it's like, you know, I'll love you for a thousand years and more, you know, that type of commitment. And I remember I'm just so in love with her, and it was like, this is what I want, like, she is my future, and I can see us being together a thousand years or more, you know, like, it's, I don't know, it's eternity for us. And so after that, whenever I hear the song, I just picture us together. And that's kind of what it is for me. And so I remember it was coming on the radio, and I was like, oh no, it was on YouTube. We were just chilling in the house, and I was like, babe, you gotta hear this. Like, whenever I was like, just listen, this is us. And so I played the song for her, and I don't know, what were your thoughts on it? That was that for me.
You said it was our song, and it was our song.
Yeah,
there you go. It worked. It stuck.
So beautiful. Well, I don't know if I've ever heard it, but I'm looking forward to listening. So again, Christina Perry, A Thousand Years. Mm-hmm.
Somehow, one step closer.
That was Christina Perry, A Thousand Years, and I am in a very relaxed state of mind listening to that song. It is so gorgeous.
Very centering.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Thank you so much for bringing it. And she'll not only love that person for a thousand years, she'll love them for a thousand more.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's a long time. Yeah. And that's how you guys feel about each other.
Yeah, it goes beyond where we are now.
Beautiful. So anyone listening to the show would not know what you look like, and I think it's really important to bring the fact that you're a mixed race couple to the conversation and how you navigate the world as, you know, a Caucasian woman and an African American woman, and how that does that play into your world, or does it not? And was it different on the East Coast? Is it different here on the West Coast, and all that stuff? And so Diana and I are also mixed race. So just, mm-hmm. you know, we don't meet too many mixed race couples. And it's an area of commonality. So we were just wondering how mm-hmm. that is for you. And who'd like to start first?
Okay, I'll start.
Okay.
I know I'm going to start. Well, living on the East Coast, you didn't see that many mixed race or interracial couples like you did. And whenever you did, it was just kind of like, at least for me, I was just kind of like, oh, like, that's awesome. Because it's like, I feel that way too. Like all of my relationships, I've made it, you know, the interracial because I tend to favor the Caucasian ladies. So that's kind of how it went. But I feel like, you know, at times you get like a second head turn because, you know, the couple was interracial. And I know even with my family, like my mom, she even made the comment once. She's like, you know, are you ever going to bring a black person home?
A black man?
Well, yeah. That's a whole different story. We're not there yet.
We're not there yet.
And I was just kind of like, no, probably not. Like, because that just isn't, I always say my cup of tea, but that just isn't, you know, my thing. And so being in a family that everyone's pretty much the same race, but even my dad, you know, he's a mixed race and he's with my mother. And I always found that weird that she even said that, because I was like, yeah, my dad, you can pretty much call him black. You can, but he's definitely a different race. And that makes you guys interracial. Like, even if you don't see that first glance.
Did you tell your mom that? Did you share
that? I did.
I even
asked her, I was like, you know, dad's is a mixed race, right? And she's like, well, yeah, you know, but your dad's black. And I was like, he is, but he's also other things as well, just as I am. You know, when it comes to me and my sister is much darker than I am. Like, I'm the lighter child. So first glance, you wouldn't even think that was my sister or related at all. And so for me, I didn't see that many interracial couples, but because of the school I went to, which I believe was pretty diverse, at least I did there, and it felt pretty comfortable for me. So that's how at least on the East Coast. The West Coast, I see it. It's so common for me and so comfortable for me that I really don't give it like a second glance. It's just kind of how it is. Mm-hmm. What about you, babe?
So wait, what about college though?
College. I
diversity.
It was diverse at college. Well, there were a lot less black people or Asians or I guess you say Latina. Like, I don't want to use the wrong mm-hmm. term. But there was a smaller, you know, number when it came to Caucasians. But you still did see interracial couples. there. And because the school was just so diverse and accepting, it's just, it was just another thing. Like, that person may be gay, or that person may be, I don't know, in any other type of label or any other type of identification they had. It's just kind of how it was. And so it was very accepting. So for college, yeah.
I think for me, being an interracial couple is, it's not something that I would say that I think about, really. I mean, the person I was dating before, Chayla, was also African-American. I've had relationships with all different, you know, sorts of people. And so I think I've just been lucky enough to have the upbringing and also just the individual mindset to be very open to all sorts of possibilities. And so for me, it's never really been a factor. And I mean, I don't see a whole lot of attention for that reason, specifically in the past with my heterosexual relationships that were interracial. I didn't see it. I didn't notice the attention, if there was extra attention. Not to say that there wasn't, but it just, I think it was something that I wasn't attuned to. Mm.
So how, I'm curious about your mom's reception of Jamie now that you're in this deeper relationship, after she's saying, when you're going to bring, you know, somebody of color, or maybe.
Well, she said that when I was, I don't know if I was a freshman in high school or maybe I was in middle school, but that's when she made the comment. So, you know, years has passed, and this is another relationship. And at that point, my mom had grown a lot and just kind of, I don't know, just changed and talked with me more, and the communication was more open. So when she met Jamie Lynn, she loved her. Like, I remember we were visiting Maryland, and we were sitting in the family room. And I remember, I think you went to the kitchen for something, and my mom, like, looked at me. She's like, all serious. And she's like, I really like her. Like, I really like her. And I think she's genuine and sincere. And my mom has never said that about any of my relationships. And so for her to take the time to directly tell me that she accepts her and accepts this relationship, it was pretty big for me. Mm. Yeah.
How did you react?
Well, when she said it, I looked at her and I was like, really? Like, seriously? And because my mom is never, she's not that open with me, with anyone, really. And so usually I can read things on her face, but when she just outright told me that, I was shocked, but I was so happy. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, I finally gotten to that point in a relationship with my mother that we can talk like that, that she willingly says that to me. And that meant the world to me, you know, because I love Jamie so much. And so for her to say that, it validated, you know, how much we've grown in a relationship together. So I really enjoyed it. Mm. Yeah.
It's beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah.
What about your family, Jamie and Chayla? Accepting Chayla?
Yeah. I mean, my family loves Chayla. My mom and my sister and her text all the time. So she's a part of the family. But it was difficult for me, in the sense that I'm thinking, okay, so now I'm just going to call up, you know, my family and say, oh, I'm in a relationship. And by the way, it's with a girl. But I guess I didn't make it that big of a deal, for lack of, you know, a better phrase. And for the most part, it went really well. I mean, there was obviously some, wait, really? You know, there was some processing time, but I'm very blessed with a loving and accepting family. And so, yeah, it went really well.
Yeah, I feel very welcomed by our family. Very comfortable. And, like, we're always joking, like she said, texting. And with my family, you know, especially when we visit, like, family game night, like, it just feels so natural and so good. Like, she's always on the team with my mom, and I'm always on the team with my dad, and they crush us, of course.
Of course they do.
They have such, like, a competitive nature that it's pretty funny. It's awesome.
Wow. That's wonderful. So family acceptance all around, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So how do you identify? I mean, a lot of young people now tend to not put themselves in a box, in a specific box. I'm just curious how you identify as far as your sexual orientation goes.
yeah, for me, that question is really applicable because I don't identify as a specific label. And I understand that that might be confusing for some people. Until Chayla, I did identify as straight, but in retrospect, it was because my relationships were all heterosexual relationships up to that point. I've always been a really open person and willing to accept whatever kind of comes my way. And I'm just lucky enough that I was able to trust my own instincts and to allow myself to experience something new. And, you know, had I not allowed that for myself and had that conversation with myself, you know, I very well might not be sitting here. So for me, not labeling is just a way of being open to any of the wonderful possibilities that kind of I might encounter in my life.
Mm. I don't know. I want to sit with that for a minute because if you're with Chayla mm-hmm. and you're going to love each other for at least 2,000 years, what wonderful possibilities could you be thinking about? Or, I mean,
for me, it's not like I met Chayla and, you know, the box is checked and everything's done. I mean, I absolutely love her with all my heart, and our intent is to stay together and to start a family, and that is our intent. But I very much am aware that things happen all the time. You know, God forbid circumstances were to change, which I don't think they will. I'm open to what life brings. That doesn't mean that I'm not committed. I'm completely committed to her, and she's completely committed to me, but I just have an open mind.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jamie.
Yeah.
Wow. You set the pedestal there.
You said what?
She set the pedestal there for me to follow. No, but for the longest time, at least when I met Jamie, I was identifying as bisexual. But after a lot of just thinking and introspection on my part, I definitely identify as gay, as a lesbian. I don't know why. Well, maybe I do know why I identify as bisexual for a while, because I mean, for the longest time, at least before I started dating women, I was dating men, and I know a lot of people throw around, you know, that was the norm. But that kind of was for me, like with my family and kind of where I was, that's what I felt I had to do. And I wasn't initially as comfortable and very, I don't know, self-aware is the word, but with myself. And I didn't really know who I was. I didn't. And I was pretty lost. And once I finally did, even when I met Jamie, I kind of still was like, you know, I may very well, if we don't last, you know, I don't think that's going to happen, but if it does, I may very well find a guy. I may be attracted to a guy. I may start a relationship, you know. I don't want to, like, kind of block that out. But I also know that I've struggled so long with this since I can remember, because I've always been attracted, you know, to women. Like, this is who I am. And once I was able to say, this is who I am, then I was like, you know what, I'm gay. I just am. And if I have to label myself as something, that's what I'm going to label myself as, because that's who I am. Mm-hmm. And so that's what it was like for me.
Mm. I think it's... Sorry, Di.
No, go on.
I was just going to say, I think it's interesting that you bring up the idea of not labeling yourself and that you're open. I remember a friend of mine who's, I think she's 72, and she's always been a lesbian, but she's opening herself up to whatever comes around because she's tired of being lonely. And if that's a man, it's a man, she told me. And I think young people these days, you guys are in your mid-20s, right?
Late 20s. She's in her mid-20s.
I'm in mid,
yeah. Let's say, okay, so mid to late 20s. And Di and I are in our late 50s. So, you know, there's some years between us. And Greg, you're in your early 50s?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Chronology only.
Yeah, yeah, really, yeah. Huh?
So, you know, it's a new idea on one hand, but that the young people are really taking it. Yeah, I mean, there's all these letters now after LGBTQI. There's pansexual, there's gender fluid, there's, you know, and I think as far as being open, people out in our generation in the 50s, 60s, and 70s need to be open too, mm-hmm. as well. You know, accepting young people for the fact that they don't want to put themselves in boxes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you end up with someone that you really love. And if it's a man, it's a man. If it's a woman, it's a woman. If they don't identify as either gender, it is what it is, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So is that hard, though, to get across to your families and go back to families? Like when you say you don't identify Jamie, mm-hmm. You know, your family, your mom, your dad, somebody might say, well, does that mean you're a lesbian? I mean, how do you answer that? What do you do?
I just say, no, I'm just Jamie, you know, and that's kind mm-hmm. of just my little tagline. It really has been a non-issue for most of my family. My grandma, you know, so again, I guess maybe a little bit of an older generational mindset. She asked me once, I think she called me a lesbian just in passing, and I said, oh, well, you know, just so you know, I don't identify that way. And I usually don't correct people because it doesn't bother me. I don't get offended by the label. But it was my grandma, and I thought it was important that she understood I don't identify that way. And she said, what? Oh, so you're ambidextrous then? I do use both hands, but no, I'm not ambidextrous. No, I think you're looking for the word bisexual, and that wouldn't fit either. And, you know, there was some back and forth, and she didn't quite get that. But super well-intentioned and very loving, and I'm lucky to have her in my life. But I think you're right. It's a struggle for some people to wrap their heads around. But like you said, it's really important because a lot of people don't fit in the binary, Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of people are feeling free to express themselves in any kind of way. And I mean, that's awesome. It's amazing. And we're very lucky to be surrounded by really open-minded mm-hmm. and accepting mm-hmm. friends and family, you know, you too. Mm-hmm. And it's great. Mm-hmm. It's really great.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, you never had really a coming out, Jamie. Process.
I kind of didn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, and maybe that's unfair. I think some people in the LGBT community might feel like that's kind of unfair. But I just, for me, I don't know how to explain it. I just okay, and now I'm loving this person now. And for me, it really wasn't that big of a deal. I mean, I've been such an ally my whole life that it wasn't this foreign concept of, you know, why am I having this attraction? You know, I allowed myself to be in the moment and to accept that. And so for me, it's been a mostly non-issue. I think for people around me, it took a lot more just kind of thought, you know, just kind of sitting with it for a second. But really, it's been kind of a not big issue, and I'm lucky in that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Shayla, what about you?
Yeah. Except, you know, the way Jamie had, you know, kind of told her family, that was very, it was natural, and it just kind of is what it was. And with me, it was different. Once I did realize I was gay, I came out to my friends. I just told them, I was like, you know what? Like, I'm gay. Like,
How old were you? Yeah.
I believe I was in the 11th grade, so I may have been 17 when that happened.
When did you know you were attracted to girls, though?
Kindergarten. Oh. I have this distinct memory of my kindergarten teacher. And I remember
she talks about her to this day all the time.
I talk about that, that's how I knew. And so... like when I was in kindergarten, I just knew that I found this woman so attractive. And then when she got married and moved away, I remember I was crushed, and that was why. I was 17. I came out to my friends first, and then by that time I was more comfortable in who I was. And then I went to college and I started dating my freshman year, and I was visiting home and I just told my dad, I was like, Dad, you know, what do you think about this? Like, if your kid came home and said they were gay or bisexual, like, what do you think? And he was just like, honestly, like, I wouldn't think really anything of it. Like, I would love them no matter what. It is what it is. That's who they are. And I love them regardless. And I was like, wow. And I got kind of emotional. And I was like, you know, Dad, I think I said I was bisexual at the time. But I was like, this is who I am. You know, I'm actually dating this girl. This is her name. And it kind of went from there. Then my dad and I had this, it just kind of solidified our already close relationship. And so that's then, beautiful. Yeah. And then, so then it wasn't till my sophomore year that I came out to my mom, because my mom and I we've always had the kind of, I don't know the word to use, but we have like personalities. And so sometimes when we're talking, things just kind of explode with us. And I knew the way she was raised. You know, my grandmother's very old fashioned, and I knew her beliefs. You know, I was in church since I can remember. So I kind of knew what was going to happen, and I was afraid of that. And so one day we're in the kitchen and we're watching an episode of The Golden Girls. And it was the episode where Blanche's brother tells her that he's gay. And I was like, Mom, you know, what if I came home and told you that, like, what would be your reaction? And she kind of said the things, same lines that my dad said. And I just kind of sat there, and it was a good, like, maybe 10 minutes. We're just kind of sitting next to each other after she said that. And I was like, okay, Mom, like, I'm gay. Like, this is who I am. Like, this is what's been going on. What do you think about that? And she was like, you know, Shayla, like, honestly, I can't say I'm surprised. Like, I kind of had a feeling. And then after that, we just started laughing. Aww. And it went from there. And at the time, the girl I was dating, you know, she came to my house, and I'm just bringing a friend over. Like, you know, we're just spending the weekend here. And she's like, she said it. She's like, I knew when you brought her home, like, that was your girlfriend. So she's like, she knew. And from then on, there was some conflicts. There was my mother trying to still kind of push her control over me and kind of think, you know, kind of say, are you kind of like, are you sure type thing? Mm. And it was like, you know, at this point, I'm definitely sure. Like, it's been years. It's not going to change. Like, this is who I am. But we've worked through it, and she's very accepting and very supportive. My whole family is very supportive. And the last person I had to come out to was my grandmother. Like, that woman has been there for me since I was in diapers. Like, she's always been a constant in my life. And I just had this fear of her rejecting me and of losing that loving relationship. And it scared me so much that, you know, by the time Jamie and I was dating, Jamie was still a roommate. Like, she wasn't a friend, you know, she was a friend, but, like, she was a roommate. And, like, we lived together in New York, you know? And I feel like I shed enough tears and enough fear over it. And I was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to come out to her. So I went home. We visited home, and I was, again, talking to my mom and dad. It was actually in the kitchen. A lot of these talks happen in the kitchen. I don't know why, but they do. And so I was in the kitchen. I was like, Mom, Dad, like, I want to come out to Grandma. Or I call her Nana. I was like, I want to come out to Nana. I'm like, what do you guys think? And they told me don't do it. And they said, her heart can't take that. And I looked at my dad, because my dad's always been in my corner. I said, Dad, you know, what are your thoughts? Like, I want to tell her. And he's like, you know what, Tweet? He's like, if it was anyone else in the family, I'd say go for it. But her, don't do it. And it crushed me. And the guy that's always been in my corner just kind of, you know, didn't have my back then. Like, I expected it from my mother, because that's kind of the fight we've always been having. And so I expected it from her. It still hurt, but I expected that. But when he said it, I was crushed, and I started crying. And I was like, I need your support right now. Like, this is, you know how much she means to me. You know how afraid I am. Like, I need more than her heart can't take it. And my mom was like, you know, because if you do this, it's going to come back on me. And at that point I just started bawling. I was like, it's not about you, it's about me, and I need you here for me. And they weren't. And then, like, Jamie walks into the kitchen at that point, and I'm just like crying. I left the room. I couldn't deal with that anymore. And so eventually, when I went to her house, I told her. And she was like, I figured. She's like, I had a...
That was that.
Oh, my goodness. You know?
And it's like, I went through all of that fear and heartache. Yes. And she was just as accepting and supportive.
Oh.
You know?
So happy for you that you just trusted your grandma and your relationship.
Mm-hmm. And it helped, too, that Jamie was here and she talked me through it. She's like, you know what? She's like, they're your family and I love them, but I don't agree with what they just said. I was mm-hmm. like, you need to do this for you. And so I took that to heart and I did.
Good for you, following your heart.
Thank you.
You know, believing in your relationship so much that you didn't let your parents stop you because she's your grandma. Mm-hmm. We are at the end of our show.
I feel like so much more to ask.
I know our listeners right now are saying, oh my gosh, don't go. We're just getting to know you.
Beautiful stories. Thank you for opening up to us.
Thank you for allowing us to and creating that space. Thank you.
10 words or less. One bit of wisdom to someone listening out there.
Believe in yourself. Because in the end, that's what you have. Is knowing who you are. And that will take you everywhere.
That's pretty good. Ditto. No. Just be really open. Be open to what life has to offer. Look for the signs that you've allowed to be placed into your life. I mean, that's how I met Jayla. That's how I met the two of you. So just be open and be willing to listen.
Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. So just like Jayla and Jamie Lynn, you too can be living proof that by being visible and vibrant and by telling your story, you can change the world and the outlook on it. This is Diana and Sheridan. Until next month.
Good night.
And you can do the same, what have you done today to make you feel proud? It's never too late to try. What have you done today to make you feel proud?
Join us for KRCB Concerts in the Garden at Chroma Gallery. Our third concert is Saturday, July 18th and features blues singer, songwriter, and guitarist Marcus James. Chroma Gallery is located in the SoFA Arts District at 312 South A Street in Santa Rosa. You can enjoy a live performance of American World Beats Blues, wines from Rodney Strong Vineyards, beers from Lagunitas Brewery, and gourmet pizza from the Pie Place food truck. There's also plenty of space for you to bring your low back chairs. That's Saturday, July 18th from 4 to 6 p.m. Gates open at 3 p.m. Meet KRCB staff, musicians, and enjoy the fine art at Chroma Gallery, featuring local and international artists, paintings, pottery, and jewelry. A portion of the proceeds benefits KRCB FM Radio 91. You can learn more at chromagallery.net. You're listening to KRCB FM Windsor Santa Rosa Radio 91, online all the time at krcb.org. Be sure to tune in next Sunday night for Outbeat Radio's Outbeat Music with Michaela Kenney. It's just before 9 p.m. Stay with us. Open Space District is next.